Today we are going to learn about the life of Yehoram Melech Yehuda, the son of Yehoshaphat. Now there are two things that you have to keep in mind when you hear the word Yehoram. The first thing is that he actually has a brother-in-law named Yehoram, who's also a king. We mentioned in our previous year that Yehoshaphat made a shidduch with Achav, and he had his son marry Achav's daughter. Some people say granddaughter, but the point is Achav's daughter. And it comes out, Achav had a son, Yehoram, and Yehoshaphat has a son, Yehoram. So they both end up being kings after their father. So you have two times, it's Yehoram, and one is Melech Yehuda, and one is Melech Yisrael. Another thing that you have to keep in mind is how weak we are as people and how influenced we are. Here we have somebody that father, Yehoshaphat, his grandfather, also, these were two very, very good kings. And he unfortunately goes on a very, very bad derech, mainly because of the influence of his wife, who is the daughter of Achav. So she brings him to terrible, terrible places. Where do we see that? We see this pashut right at the beginning. We mentioned that Yehoshaphat was very wealthy. Because he served the Eibishter pashut gave him a lot of money. A lot of other countries would pay tribute to him. And the Torah tells us, the Navi tells us, that being that Yehoram was the Bechor, he made him the king. That was his birthright. But he has six other sons. In other words, Yehoram has six brothers. Azariah, Yechiel, Zechariah, Azariah, Michal, and Shvatiah. These are six brothers that he has. And the king, obviously he doesn't appoint them to be king, but he gives them a lot of presents. They're very wealthy men, but he says, your brother is going to be the melech over Yehuda. The first thing he does when he becomes king is kill his brothers. He was so, I guess his wife told him, you never know, they're going to want to be king. So she was so corrupt, mamish, from the very beginning, that he kills all his brothers so that they shouldn't fight him for the throne. And under the influence of his wife, he brings Avodah Zarah back to not only now in Malchus Yisrael, also in Malchus Yehuda. And the Navi in Divrei Hayamim, Chelek Beis, Perek Chof Aleph, Pasuk Zion tells us, "V'lo ava Hashem mahashkes es beis David." Really, the Eibishter was furious, and he should have destroyed Yehoram and everything. But he already made a promise that he's not going to destroy Beis David. L'man brisa shekoras l'David v'chashamar los le'nir levan of kalayomim. So therefore, he wasn't going to kill Yehoram, but he's still going to have to punish him because of this bad derech that he chooses. And the first punishment the Eibishter starts is with a gashmizdika punishment. He punishes his wallet. For many years, he had different countries that were under the melucha of Yehuda, which would mean that every year they would pay taxes to the melech. That's how they got their money. One of those countries was Edom. Edom was a very wealthy province, and they would pay a big tax every year to Malchus Yehuda. At this point, because he was not going in the ways of the Eibishter puts it into Edom's mind that they should claim independence. Now they run a risk that now the king who's in charge of them will send in his army and could kill the people. In other words, why are they under the Malucha? Because they usually can't fight. And sure enough, Yehoram with his mighty army comes to fight Edom. But the Eibishter is orchestrating this, and he does not want Edom to be under Yehuda. So he makes it that the soldiers of Yoram, they get all scared out of Edom and they run home. So what happens is now his money that he would get from Edom no longer comes. But even more than that, other cities or other countries that were also under him, they say, wait a minute, we could also declare independence because his army is not as strong as we thought. What's going to happen if we declare independence? We could also be independent. So now not only did he lose Edom, but he lost the other countries that were paying taxes as well. So the first thing he got was a punishment from his gashmius to his pocket. At that point, the Navi in Klal Yisrael was Eliyahu HaNavi. We seem to forget because we associate Eliyahu HaNavi with Achav and all these things. But there's a whole simultaneous history going on with Malchus Yehuda. Achav and Zerubbabel, all these people are Malchus Yisrael, but it's all happening at the same time. This is Eliyahu HaNavi's Tkufa. And Eliyahu HaNavi sends him a letter. And this is where you have the famous words, Michtav Eliyahu. This is the quote from this pasuk. And he basically tells him, I have a message for you from the Eibishter, in a letter, that this is happening because you're not going in the ways of David HaMelech, and instead of following in the ways of Malchei Yehuda, you're unfortunately following in the ways of Malchus Yisrael, of Avodah Zarah. And therefore, if you don't wake up, you're going to have Hine Hashem Noigev Magefa Gdoila Ba'amecha Ubivanecha V'Nashecha B'chor Rechushecha. You're going to have a plague that's going to come and destroy you and your family, and it's going to be bad for you. And you better wake up to tshuva. Now, but unfortunately, he does not really wake up. And he actually, the Navi, Eliyahu HaNavi, actually warns that not just your family, but you yourself, Va'ata b'chaloyim rabim b'machle meyecha. You can have a tremendous stomach virus. Ad yetsu meyecha min acheli yomim al yomim. Your whole insides are going to turn upside down. You're going to chalish from your system falling apart. Okay. He ignores. And the Eibishter sends the Plishtim to come and attack. What they do is that while Yoram was out on an excursion, they break into the palace, they steal treasures, and they push it, kill his children. The only son left, he had many children, the only son that he has left was a little child, B'toin Banov, his youngest child. His name was Yehoahaz. And obviously we'll talk about him and how he continues the Melucha. But now he lost Peruchnius. He lost his, obviously, Zir Shemayim. He lost his money. And he also obviously loses his family. So he's really, really lost from Alazaitin, everything important to somebody he's losing. But unfortunately, he didn't get the message that he was under such influence, such negative influence of his wife, the daughter of Achav, that he just pushed it, wouldn't change his ways. And he's pushed it, bringing Klal Yisrael to such a negative place. So unfortunately, by the way, just to add, that this michtav from Eliyahu was after Eliyahu was oila shamayma. This is right after Eliyahu goes up to Shemayim, he sends this message to the one of the Nevi'im Lamata. That's why it's a michtav Eliyahu. This is a message from Eliyahu, who was already oila shamayma. We know Eliyahu Navi went up to Shemayim. But unfortunately, he doesn't get this message and he doesn't do tshuva. So what happens is, obviously, after all of this, he gets an incurable disease in his intestines, in his stomach, in his whole digestive system, with no cure, because that's what the Eibishter warned him, that if he doesn't do tshuva, this is what's going to happen. But unfortunately, he doesn't do tshuva, and he wants to get cured, but he doesn't get cured, and he dies. Now, right after that, so the one that takes him over is obviously his younger son, Yoyachaz, which leads to a whole new tkufa in Klal Yisrael. We're going to talk a little bit about that and its relationship to Malchus Yisrael.